Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon of intercessory prayer, and we thank and praise God for each of you here. I see we got in queue already. My co-host is here, who hosted yesterday and did a wonderful job in the person of Prophet Dow Saunders. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Apostle. How are you?
Oh, man, sound like something to roll your voice out, man. Praise the Lord. Sound like you've been prophesying, my brother.
Oh, my goodness. I really enjoyed myself on yesterday with PSMI. I really enjoyed myself. I was a little nervous in the beginning, amen, because I didn't want to mess up nothing. But other than that, the prayers of them saints, oh, my goodness, that Shatwan, that Bertha, that Sylvia. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, the children can pray now. Don't think the children can't pray. They know how to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, they are some powerful people. Boy, this is one of my sons. Watch this. Hello, Anthony. How you doing? I got you on the radio today. You're on my radio show right now. I told them this is one of my sons. Definitely. Okay, then say hi to the radio station. Say hi, everybody.
How you doing out there?
See? I got you on the radio today. Praise the name of God. Is all well, Anthony?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was calling to see what I could drop some ties off to you.
Get over here now. Hallelujah. When you want to come, son, anytime you want to come, you can come.
Okay, I'll wish you a little later.
I'll be here.
Okay, I'll call you a little later.
Okay, I'll be at the house all day.
I love you,
Doc. I love you, too. Isn't that wonderful? Did you hear that? That's when you train up a child in the way that it should go. That young man been a part of my ministry, Prophet Dell, since he was a little child.
Oh,
you hear me,
goodness.
Man? And he called me. He has been in church in a few weeks, and he called me saying, where can I come to drop off my tithe? And he's probably going to have his first fruits with him, too. Knowing Anthony, him and his wife, they're going to have their first fruits. I raised both of them at our church, and both of them was married through our ministry. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, it's just wonderful, Prophet Dara, as you are in this church to see kids that don't look like much when they first come through the door, but God will raise them up. Praise the Lamb of God. And the things you taught them and the things that you instructed them and going up to the school for them and this, it's going to pay off in the long run. Praise the Lamb of God. I tell you, there's a beautiful, beautiful couple. Hallelujah, Anthony Williams. Praise the Lamb. Matter of fact, my daughter married his cousin. Hello, like, brother. Angel is married to his cousin. Did she get that? Praise the Lamb. And look, y'all didn't know this. Yesterday, praise the Lamb, I got out to the car. The sinus infection started messing with me. Angel and her husband made me go back in the house, and he went and did the eulogy and everything for me. I raised him in my church. He's an ordained minister. See, it'll pay off in the long run. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Shout somebody and tell them they thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, people of God, your work will pay off. When you see your work manifesting, praise the Lamb of God, it really does your heart good when your children, praise the Lamb of God, are obedient and they're growing in the Lord. And my spiritual children, I have so many spiritual sons and daughters. The prophecy, Prophet Dale prophesied this to me, that it's about the increase in sons and daughters. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Twan, your mic is high. And then, praise the Lamb of God, some other prophets, and then while I was at the prayer conference, two prophets came on me and said, God is going to give you more sons and daughters than you ever desired in ministry. They're coming up under your wing, praise the Lamb of God, because of the faithfulness and the tutoring and the type of teaching that I do, that God is pleased with it. Praise the Lamb of God. And I'm honored, praise God. I'm honored to be one of the fathers of the prophetic. I really am, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, in this season of my life, and I'm still quite young and robust, I would have you to say. Praise the Lord. Prophet Darrell, but Prophet Darrell, let me tell you, thank you for all you did on yesterday, for taking it up, man, and doing such a splendid job to already thank Bertha and to Sophia and this Shatron, my granddaughter. Man, I tell you, boy, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. God, to bring us together in this season to make sure that we do the things that is pleasing to God. Praise the Lamb of God. Sylvia, your mic is hot also. Praise the Lamb of God. Now, people of God, I want you to know you, too, can be a part of this same group. Praise the Lamb of God. All you got to do is call in area code 646-564-9818. Area code 646-564-9818, and you can be a part of our, praise the Lamb of God, listening audience and participate, praise the Lamb of God, on whatever level you would like to. If in a intercessory prayer day. We have a special guest that's going to be coming on a little later. Praise the Lamb of God in the person. Hey, watch this, Prophet Dale. Her name is Evangelist Dawn Saunders out of Washington, D.C. She is a Saunders also, the Lord. And she's going to be coming on, and we're going to be talking about the prophetic. We're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be talking about prayer and its problematic movement on the missionary field. Praise the Lamb of God. She is a devout missionary. And then how you can have her come and establish a missionary trip, praise the Lamb of God, at your ministry. Hello, somebody. Praise the Lamb of God. So you don't want to miss that. You want to go share, praise the Lamb of God, with your friends and your loved ones. Praise the Lamb that we're going to have a special guest on the show today in the person of Evangelist, praise the Lamb of God, Dawn Saunders. And she is one of them preaching women, praise the Lamb of God, out of Washington, D.C., and she's going to be here on the show with us, praise God. Yes, sir. Bobby Fox, she's going to be right here with us. And we want you on today to be with us, praise God, as we go forth. All right, let's get some prayers going here. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Intercessors pushing one on your dial. Praise the Lamb of God coming in to sing so that you can be a part of this dynamic of prayer ministry. Let me see, 5, 8, 6, your mic is hot. Who's calling? 5, 8, 6,
your call. Sister Althea. Sister Althea.
Okay, how you doing, daughter?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm well, praise the Lamb of God. You calling, you going to pray with us today?
Yes.
Hallelujah, praise the Lamb of God. Sylvia, your mic is hot. Can you speak to us? Say hello to everybody.
Hi, Prophet Saunders.
Y'all don't sound good today. What is wrong with you? Hey, anybody got no energy? Where's my granddaughter at? Granddaughter, you got any life today?
I'm here, Prophet.
Granddaughter
doing now.
But y'all stay up all night long or what?
I'm working, but I'm here.
I need to get the joy of Jesus on this show today now. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I woke up on 10. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. I got out of bed, praise the Lamb of God. I just told the devil to go and sit on a tack somewhere. Praise the Lamb of God with these headaches. I'm just pressing my way on in the presence of the Lord. I had a conference call, prayer meeting today. Praise the Lamb of God. Then prayed heaven down. We did on the telephone today. I'm telling you, this thing real to me. It's a real deal. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me give you some yeses.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Yes,
God. Let me give you some yeses.
Ooh,
Jesus. Let me give some wows back here.
Wow.
Let me give you some O's back here.
Ooh.
See that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all better come on up here and get right in church.
Hallelujah.
Oh God. All right, this 586 error code. Sweetheart, I want you to lead us in prayer today. Praise the Lord. We pray for our sick and shut in our general prayer. Hallelujah. Pray
okay.
for those in convalescent homes, behind prison walls. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wherever our voice is heard, we definitely want to pray for those that's incarcerated. Then we want to pray,
yeah.
Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed, we want to pray over our government as we normally do in our leaders. Praise God. Hallelujah in this day. And I'm asking you, darling, if you would, just praise the Lamb of God. Let the Lord take your little heart and just lead us right on to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus. Come on, daughter. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah, Father God. We thank you in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, Father God. We thank you for your presence right now, Father God, as you touch every mind, spirit, and soul right now, Father God. Father God, we ask you to touch every sick and shedding person, Father God, in their homes, nursing homes, and hospitals, Father God. We ask you to place your hand upon their head, Father God, and heal them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Father God, renewing their mind, their hearts, and their spirit unto you, Father God, that they will call your name and give you the glory that you need, Father God, in the magnifying name of Jesus, Father God, as you continue pouring out signs and wonders, Father God, and miracles, Father God, that the deaf will hear and that blind will see, Father God, and the lame will walk, Father God. They will know it's you, Father God, because man don't have the power you have, Father God. We thank you for this opportunity, Father God. Father God, we ask you to go into our government, Father God. We ask you to go into the prison walls, Father God, every crevices of the wall, Father God, behind the walls, in the crevices, in the airways and duckways, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, in the food that they eat, Father God, the clothing that they wear, Father God, the people who are responsible, Father God, for their freedom, Father God, for their well-being, Father God, for their lifestyle, Father God. We ask you to bless them, Father God. We ask you to arrest them with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, Father God. We ask you to go in the highways and byways, Father God, through the front, through the back, Father God, through the top, through the bottom, in the name of Jesus, Father God, under the earth, Father God, in the name of Jesus, shake the ground, in the name of Jesus, Father God, go throughout the atmosphere, Father God, in the name of Jesus, let them seek you, Father God, because you are the freedom that they need, Father God, in the magnified name of Jesus, so their mind can be free, and their soul shall be free, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we ask you to touch every judge, Father God. Every lawyer, Father God, every sheriff, Father God, in the name of Jesus, anoint them and appoint them, Father God, that though they hold their hands in the keys of freedom of the children of God, they can handle them with love and compassion, Father God, with the instruction of the Holy Ghost, Father God. We ask you in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, go into the courtrooms, Father God, every pew, Father God, in the magnifying name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and turn your children back onto you, Father God. We give you glory and we give you honor in this day, Father God, because you are great and you're mighty, Father God. We lift you on high, Father God, because you are King of kings and Lord of lords. You're the absolute end in the name of Jesus, Father God. We ask you to pour your spirit over this phone line, Father God, touching every mind, Father, every soul, every spirit, Father God. Anoint their head, Father God, and anoint their feet, Father God. Wherever they go, Father God, it will be the presence of the Lord with them, Father God. Every word that they speak, Father God, will be the word of God in the name of Jesus, Father God. We ask to continue chastising those that you love, Father God. Correct those that you love, Father God. That they could be in alignment, Father God. When you say, breathe, dry bones, they shall breathe in the name of Jesus, and they shall stand up, Father God, ready for your instruction, Father God, in alignment with their sword drawn, the helmet on their head, and their belt holding up their armor, Father God, in the magnifying name of Jesus, walking in peace and walking in order, Father God, as we bow our head before you, Father God, and say unto you, my Lord and good Savior, have your way, Father God, because we are here under the will of you, Father God. Whatever we shall say, whatever we shall do it by the presence of the Lord thy God, and we stand 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide, Father God, mowing down the devil and the wild and his imps, Father God, because we know who we are and we know who we belong to, and we shall be victorious because you are victorious. We shall be winners because you are winners. We are righteous because you are righteous, and we are holy because you're holy. And we give you glory on this day, Father God, and we honor you on this day. We say thank you in the magnifying name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, daughter. Praise the Lamb of God. All right, praise the Lamb of God. Sylvia, step to the mic. Hallelujah, boy, oh boy. We want to pray right now. Praise the Lamb of God. We piggybacking right here. And we want to pray for these schools. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. It just, I mean, this demon must die. This demon must go back to the pit. Hallelujah, that's causing all these shootings.
Amen.
From school to signing a host to inhabit, praise the Lamb of God, another kid. Hallelujah. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. If it's not, has never been a time before that we should make sure that our children are saved. Hallelujah. It's right now. Praise the Lamb of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So that they'll be put in the blood of Jesus. We want to pray over these schools. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. And,
hallelujah,
of course, the bloodshed in our streets. Praise the Lamb of God. The killing,
yes, God.
The murders, the robbers. Praise the Lamb of God. We want to pray. Hallelujah. Yes, for peace be at our doors. For God's blood covering over the saints. that he would watch over us. Sylvia, come on and talk to Jesus.
God. Hallelujah, Father, Father. Hallelujah to your name, God. Oh, God, thank you, God. Thank you for this day, God. Oh, God, we come to magnify you, God. Oh, God, we come to call on your name today, oh, God. Oh, Father, we come, God, asking you to forgive us, God, for our sins, oh, God, for the sins of this country, oh, God. Oh, God, for the blood that is crying out to you, oh, God. Oh, God, remember those that have died on the streets, oh, God. Remind those that have left here, oh, God. Prematurely, oh, God. Oh, Father, we lift them up before you, God. Oh, God, please, I plead the blood of Jesus over your children today, oh, God. I decree and declare, God, that they shall live and not die, God. Oh, God, I thank you right now, God. Cover them, oh, God. Cover their minds, oh, God. Oh, God, begin to call their names, oh, God. Oh, God, cover their homes, oh, God. Oh, God, every step that they take, God, begin to order their steps, oh, God. Set up roadblocks, God. We set up roadblocks in the spirit, oh, God, where the enemy cannot attack your children, oh, God. Oh, Satan, the blood is against you, and we plead the blood of Jesus over every child, God, every home, every school, Father, every bus, every form of transportation, God. They are covered under the blood, Father. Oh, Father, we remind you, God, that you knew them before they were born, God. We remind you, God, that you had a call for them, oh, God. Oh, Father, we remind them, oh, Lord, of your purpose for them, oh, Lord. They shall serve you, God. They shall live, oh, Lord, and proclaim your name, oh, God. Oh, Father, give us a heart, oh, God, to call out to you, God. Give them the mind, oh, God, to seek you, oh, God. Oh, Father, remove every distraction that they have, oh, God, every form of every form that the enemy sends against them, oh, God, with insecurity, oh, God, with self low self-esteem, oh, God. We bind all those things up, God, and the blood is against that too, God. Oh, God, because they are fearfully and wonderfully made, oh, God. You crafted them, Lord. You created them, Lord. And, Father, you breathe into them, God. So, Father, we decree and declare, Lord, that they will come forth as children of the Most High, God. Oh, God, they will serve you, God. They will honor you, God. They will walk in your ways, oh, God. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your children, oh, God. Even those that are just being born, God, those in the hospital, oh, God, your newborn babies.
Yes, Father.
Oh, Father, we lift them up before you, oh, God. Oh, God, dispatch your angels to cover your children, oh, God. Oh, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over them, oh, Lord. Oh, God, cover them, oh, God. Oh, God, anoint them right now, oh, God. We give them to you, oh, God, as your children, oh, God. We give them back to you, oh, God. And, Father, we lift them up before you, oh, Lord, that they may serve you, oh, God, that they may have a heart, oh, God, to seek after you, oh, God. Oh, God, begin to draw on them, oh, God, even now, oh, God. Oh, set them apart, oh, God, for your kingdom, oh, God. And, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for saving us, God. We thank you that Jesus allowed us to come in, oh, God, into your courts, oh, God. Oh, God. On our own behalf, oh, God, we thank you, Lord, not just for us, oh, God, but for the world, oh, God. We lift up your children across the world, oh, God. Oh, God, bring righteousness, go back, oh, God. Holiness, oh, God, in our homes, oh, God. I decree and declare that order take place in the home, oh, God. Order take place in the school, oh, God. Order take place in America, oh, God. That we get back to the old way, oh, God. That we seek your face, oh, God. That we call on your name, oh, God. That we raise our children up, oh, God, in the word, oh, God, that they'll have the word to stand, oh, God. They have the word to live by, God. They have the word to walk by, God. Oh, Father, we thank you right now for the word, oh, God. Oh, God, because you said, Lord, that your word will not pass away, oh, God. So, Father, we thank you for the word. It shall produce, oh, God. It shall go forth, oh, God, and do what you have called it to do, oh, God. It shall not fall to the and die, oh, God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your only son, Father. Oh, God, we just thank you right now for peace, oh, God. Peace, oh, God, in your homes where there's trouble, oh, God. Homes lack, oh, God. I decree and declare increase in the homes, oh, God. I decree and declare, God, that your children don't have to go to the streets, oh, God, looking for love, oh, God, but we'll love them, oh, God. We'll love them, oh, God, even when it hurts, oh, God. Even when we don't understand what they're going through, Lord, we'll love them, oh, God, but keep them before your throne, oh, God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your children, God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that order is returning to our homes. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that we're coming back to you, oh, God. Oh, God, that we're humbled before you, oh, God, seeking your face, oh, God, seeking more of you, oh, God. Strategies, oh, God, that your children may not die in the streets, oh, God. Oh, Father, we thank you right now, God, for the blood of Jesus that covers them, Lord. Just one drop, oh, God. Remember what Jesus did on the cross, Father.
Yes,
keep your
God.
Children safe, oh, God. In the mighty
yes,
name of
God.
Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, and we bless your name for this day, oh, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise
you.
The Lamb of God. God, bless you, God. Praise the Lamb. Boy, I tell you, the daughters are here. Praise the Lamb of God. My brother is here, our pastor, prophet. Praise the Lamb of God. Dove Saunders, and we are here today here at PSM. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Those of you that's listening to us via the internet would like to call in, give you a prayer request today. We're praying for you. We're here for you today. Hallelujah. As intercessors, we're here for you, not just praying over things that we think need prayer or prayed over, but we want to pray for you also. Those of you that's listening to our voice can call in the area code 646-564-9818. Area code 646-564-9818 and push one on your pad, on your phone, praise the Lamb of God, and it will light up our switchboard and we will take your prayer request. Hallelujah, and pray for you, praise the Lamb of God, right here on the show. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Y'all give us a minute, my prophet Darrell and us. We want to do just a little discussion here. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, because you know when this young woman come on, we're going to have a fired-up good time because I'm going to be sandwiched in between these Saunders, and I don't want to. I know that's going to be a fire hurricane thing going. Prophet Darrell Saunders, an evangelist. Hallelujah. Don Saunders. That's just maybe too much for me. Prophet Darrell, talk to us today, man. What you got to say?
Man, I'm just happy in my spirit, Apostle. You know, God is just so good and so awesome. I woke up this morning. I'm like you, Apostle. I woke up with joy this morning. I woke up with peace in my heart this morning, amen. I got up this morning, got directly in my word, amen. And I just thank God for having a relationship with him. I just thank God that, you know, a lot of people don't understand that having a relationship with God is more important than having a relationship with man. And I just thank God for the relationship that I got with him, all because if it had not been for him on my side, I know where I would have been. Some folks say tell a lie, they don't know where they would be. I know what I would be. I would be in a grave. I would have been lost my mind. I know where I would have been without the Lord. So I just thank God. I thank God for the prayers of the saints. I thank God for the anointing. I thank God for the prophetic words that have been spoken over my life, over the ministry. And I'm just happy in Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Prophet, you said a lot right there, man of God. And even in our teachings about the prophets, as we continue that, praise the Lamb of God, and teaching about the prophets, we dealt with Enoch, we dealt with Noah the other day, and of course, rightfully, we moved to Abraham right now, praise the Lamb of God. And I think that starts right there, like the 12th chapter of Genesis, when the Lord appeared unto Abraham and told him to go to a land that he would show him, praise the Lamb, and through difficulties and what have you, he went down into the land of Egypt, and there they thought that, you know, he told his wife to tell him that it was his sister and all of that, and God still brought him out, praise the Lamb of God. But when God reveals himself to Pharaoh concerning Abraham, he tells Pharaoh, praise the Lamb of God, that Abraham is a prophet. The Lord tells him that, praise the Lamb of God. And that opened my eyes to some things concerning prophets, praise the Lamb of God. It's those that are in a relationship as you're speaking, praise the Lamb of God. You must establish relationship with God, praise the Lamb of God. Once God initiates, praise the Lamb of God, communication with you. It's you that must pursue God. Praise the Lamb of God. A lot of people be running around, well, I ran from my calling, blah, 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 blah. No, you ran from relationship. You ran from the greatest relationship you could ever afford yourself. Praise the Lamb of God. And that is to give, praise the Lamb of God, God, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, submit to him, praise the Lamb of God. And it shows us when a relationship has been established, praise the Lamb of God. Look what God does. Abraham told a half lie, and God still delivered him. Abraham told those people that his wife was his sister. Hello, like brother. If you look at it, you'll see she was his half-sister. But he lied.
Ooh.
And God still delivered him.
Yes, he did.
Because of relationship. Praise the Lamb of God. You better look at this thing. Because of relationship. Because of purpose. Hallelujah. No relationship. The average prophetic person, praise the Lamb of God, wants to hear from God without relationship. Want God to speak to us and everything, but you don't want to build a relationship. Well, building a relationship is God allowing you to get into some traps that's going to cause you to trust him. Praise the Lamb of God. Now, we're looking at the personalities of these prophets. Abraham was a fearful man. He wouldn't have lied. He was scared he was going to kill him and take his wife. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
He was scared. He was scared they was going to kill him and take his wife. And so he told his wife to lie. That's fear. That's fear. He was fearful. And it was assumption fear. He assumed that what would happen. Nobody told him that what was going to happen. No one threatened him. That's what fear does to us. It causes us to assume, imagine, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Our imagination runs wild with it. And God is teaching him some things, some principles here. God is teaching him some things. If you read the story, Abraham shouldn't have went down there, no way. He should have trusted God. If God can bring ravens to feed Elijah, come on, talk to me now. Praise the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
He could have fed Abraham right where he was.
Exactly.
When Abraham went down to Egypt, he also picked up Hagar. That's where Hagar comes into the picture. Oh, my goodness. See? He picked up Hagar also. Because of his fear, lack of trust. Praise the Lamb of God. Now he had picked up this handmaid for his wife, who turns out to be the mother of his baby. Oops. And now that puts him into a... See, we have to look at the personality of the prophet, because they so like ours. They were people just like you and I. And that's why I'm showing you this.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We want to make them some kind of spooky, mystique kind of people, and not all of them are presented that way. Abraham was a man of like passions, just like us. Hallelujah. He got hungry, he got cold, he got scared, and when desperate times approached him, and he took desperate measures to make sure that his family was fed, that he was taken care of. That's why he went down to Egypt. God never told him to go there. Go to the land, I'll show you. His belly started growling. It was a famine. He said, I'm going down to Egypt and see if they got some food down there for me. That's the Israel whole problem, praise the Lamb of God, in the prophetic flow of Scripture, is they always trust allies above God. I hope y'all heard me. They always had allies. They always trusted in Egypt for some reason or another. They trusted Egypt. Praise the Lamb of God. That's how the 12 tribes got. They trusted Egypt. praise the Lord. When they were in battle, about to go to battle, they sent down to Egypt. And God sent them a word, woe to them that trust in Egypt, that trust in Pharaoh to deliver them, when I, the Lord your God, am your deliverer. Do you remember that I delivered you from the hand of Pharaoh, and now you're going down to asking him for some help? You're making me look weak. That's what God says. Uh-oh, praise the Lamb of God. I don't want to go too deep there. Somebody been and got a sermon out of that one. Praise the Lamb of God. But, yes, God. But we have to look at our Prophet Darrell. Ladies, we have to look at the fact that obedience must be maintained throughout the entire tenure of our relationship with God. There is no time that we have the right to be disobedient to God, to walk outside the will of God, to do as prophetic people, because of the fact that you hear the voice of God. There are consequences, praise the Lamb of God, because of the fact that you have a relationship with God, that God speaks to you. When you do something outside of the will of God, you definitely going to receive double stripes. Hallelujah. Because God knows you could have came to me. I could have spoke to you. I could have given you direction. You didn't even ask me, could you go to Egypt? You didn't even pray and say, should I go? You took it upon your own initiative, praise the Lamb of God, and ingenuity to get down there. But now I got to deliver you out of there. The man about to sleep with your wife. And I got to go to him in a dream, in a nightmare, and tell him I'm going to kill you if you mess with that man's wife. What kind of God we serve? Boy, you know, we be all worried about going to work and this, that, or another, and scared the boss going to fire us. You don't know what God done the night before. God can give your boss a nightmare, and you come in the morning thinking you're going to get fired, he give you a raise. And never tell you he had a dream about it. Let me tell you what happened one time. This is the truth, too, Prophet Darrell. The attorneys I work for, the head attorney, praise the Lamb of God, it was the one who would always make the donations and things of this nature to the churches and all of that. And he owed me some money. A lump sum of money came in. He saw it, and he told me this out of his own mouth. Greed got a hold to him. Greed got a hold to him, and he wanted to take my portion since I didn't know it was there. He said he went home that night, and he laid down, and he had a dream that really disturbed him about me. He said when he woke up in the morning, he woke up sweating. He said he woke up sweating, and he said he understood that God was showing him that if you mess over my prophet, there's going to be consequences. That man called me in his office and gave me my money. He said, and I'm saying to you, prophet, and you will never have to worry about me ever trying to cheat you again. That's what he told me to my face. People of God, do y'all hear me? God will visit people for you. Hallelujah. If your relationship is intact with God, it's about a relationship. Hallelujah. It's about obedience. But God is long-suffering. And then we see he's long-suffering with Abraham. Hallelujah. But you see these issues. Now watch this. Abraham goes down to the promised land. Praise the Lamb of God. The Lord tells him, I'm going to give you a child. He let his wife talk him in to going into his maid, into her maid. He didn't stop right there and go to God and say, Lord, is this how you want to provide? My wife has told me to go into her maid. Let me tell you what God does. He will teach you the lesson of acknowledgement, prophetic Jesus, that you're going to go to him, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. There's too many of us. Okay, y'all don't like me today. I see this. Praise the Lamb of God. There's too many of us who get in our head, praise the Lamb of God, that we can do what we want to do as long as we're carrying the word. Now, I got a lot of friends just like this. Praise the Lamb. Well, they old friends now. Praise God. They thought they could do anything they want to do as long as they kept preaching. The Lord told me to preach. As long as I'm preaching, I'm doing what he told me to do. That doesn't give you license to do everything that's outside of his will.
Exactly.
That's true.
Hello, Lightbulbs. That gives you, that really puts you in a position, whereas that you should be living more righteous than anybody, because you are the carrier of the word of God. Hello, Lightbulbs. Praise, I know I'm teaching up in here today. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. It doesn't give you a license to do what you want to do. And then, you know, we get arrogant and prideish with, praise the Lamb of God, the ministry of Jesus Christ that we call our ministry. You don't have a ministry. It's Jesus' ministry.
No. Right.
You are an extension of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you didn't climb up on the cross and die. You did no suffering. No nails went in your hands. You didn't go in the grave. So it's not your ministry. It's Jesus' ministry. So if it's Jesus' ministry, it's the Lamb of God, then your life and everything that you do that's ministry related should be done through him and not through your own thoughts and your own ideas and your own ways. This is a lesson, praise the Lamb of God, that God has to teach the average pastor over and over again. You have to keep slapping him upside the head. Now Abraham goes in here. He does this. He conceives. He get a son. And then God come back and say, well, congratulations on your baby, but that's not the anoint that I want. That's not the baby I want. I told you I was going to give you a baby by your wife. Hello, Lightbulbs. You cannot get around plan A with your plan B. Your plan B will be a burden. Anytime there's a plan B on God's plan A, the name of your plan B is burden. It's going to turn out to be a burden to you. Hello, Lightbulbs. Praise the Lamb of God. And that's what this baby turned out to be to Abraham, a burden. Almost tore his marriage up, tore his house up, tore his destiny up. Now he's sitting up in the house, his wife, mad at him, praise the Lamb of God. She don't want the woman in the house. She don't want the baby in the house. She ready to throw everybody out and giving Abraham an ultimatum. Who put Abraham in this kind of duress and stress? He put himself in there.
Abraham.
What is the culprit? Yep. He did not acknowledge God. He did not follow God's word down to the letter. Praise the Lamb of God. When God tells us, prophetic people, that he's going to do something, whether it takes him a year or 50 years, you have but one position. That's to wait on the Lord. Hello.
Amen.
Hello. See, people don't like to hear this kind of stuff because this is the kind of stuff, praise the Lamb of God, that challenges us in our belief and our walk with God.
Yeah.
And people don't fool me. There's so many disgruntled people with God until we more disgruntled with God than we are the devil. Well, the Lord told me he was going to give me a husband, and it's been 5 years. And I ain't met nobody, and ain't nobody dating me, and ain't nobody, but just you say God told you, then you just wise to go sit on attack and wait. Sure, at these God, you can go grab Billy Bob over there and marry him if you want to. It's going to be a price to pay. Then you're going to have restraining orders and all of this.
Oh, wow.
Praise the Lamb of God, because you didn't one of the meanest men in the world to marry. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. He's stalking you and everything. You can't take it because you just wanted to be married so bad. Hallelujah. This goes for all of us. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, he's going to bless you with a pastorate, and you start filling out resumes, putting them in everywhere. Then you get called to a church, and then the church turn on you and give you holy hell, because God didn't tell you to do that. He said, I'm going to do it. You done went before God.
Wow.
Hey, God, praise the Lamb of God. This is a lesson, I say it again, that God has to teach us as prophets, apostles, pastors, evangelists, praise the Lamb of God, and teach us over and over again till we get it. This is God's business. This is God's church. This is God's bride. Hallelujah. I belong to God.
Yeah.
If I'm going to make a major move, God has to sign off on it. Praise the Lamb of God. If I'm going to do something, God should be signing off on it. It shouldn't be, I want to do this. Hello, light bulbs. I'm trying to make it clear.
Amen.
Today.
Yeah,
so Abraham, praise the Lamb of God, went through a lot of trial and error when it came down, praise the Lamb of God. And God knew this was in him, and God knew that I can't really bless Abraham the way I want to bless Abraham as long as he's this way. Now I'm finna mess with some of your minds again, praise the Lamb of God. Could it be that all you waiting on is being held up because God knows you still got something in you that will distort the promises that he has for you?
Jesus.
That you'll mess up what he has for you if he gave it to you without purging out of you what's in you. And God does that through experiences 99.9 times. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. He does that through an experience. He does that through your skits and labens, your life settings. He does that way. He causes you to get into something that teaches you the lesson. He said, there it is right there. Praise the Lamb of God. And he teach you the lesson, hallelujah, so you wouldn't want to make the mistake again. Some of us, praise the Lamb of God, fail the same test about 10 times. We just keep going around in a circle. We just keep going around in a circle, going back to the end of the line, being reprocessed so that God can try us again. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. But God is going to try us, has to, because that's what perfects our faith and perfects our patience. Then you better read the first chapter of James. That's what it comes for. That's what the tribulation and the trials come for the testing of your faith, for the testing of your patience, for the testing of your trust in God. So we have to trust God on a level, praise the level. Now, let's get to the real nitty-gritty here, because I know our people are going to be calling in a minute. Praise the Lamb of God. The truth of the matter boils down to this, praise the Lamb of God, hallelujah. God says, how am I going to make you my spokesman and my mouthpiece in situations and circumstances, and I can't get you to obey me in practical things, in behind-the-scenes things? I can't get you to obey me. One minute you treat me like I'm the God of the universe and you love me, and then the next moment you treat me like I don't even exist. Some of us play hopscotch with God. He everything to us in one minute, and the next time we turn around, hey, you know, man, I'm going to go and do this, man, and just, I'm just going to believe God that he's going to walk with me through this. No, you messing up. You know, last week you was talking about, well, the Lord spoke to me this morning when I woke up, and while I was riding down the street, the Lord spoke to me, and I went to bed last night, and as I was going to sleep, now you act like you don't know God. Well, if he spoke to you then, he could speak to you now. If he's not speaking, it says to me he's telling you to stand still.
Mm-hmm.
And wait on him. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. So we can't pass these tests because God has great positions and great possibilities for us. Behind all of this testing come the Sodom and Gomorrah experience. Just look at it. Behind all this testing and purging and testing, and then Abraham was able then to do what? Abraham was able to go before the Lord and stand in the gap and hinder God from destroying Sodom and Gomorrah until Abraham inspected the place to find out was there any righteous in the city. That's a powerful position to be in.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we pray, Prophet Darrell, and we say, oh, the Lord did this for me. Oh, I prayed and God did this. How many times have you prayed and stopped God from doing something?
Jesus.
Oh, I have a pastor. I
have. Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How many times have we prayed and stopped God from doing what he said he was going to do? Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Because of somebody else's position that's out of whack with God, that you can intercede on that level. See, we have to come to a place, praise the Lamb of God, we have to come to a place to bring a wholeness of, I hope I'm saying this right, a wholeness relationship to God that's founded on trust, faith, and truth. And that should be wrapped in a bow, praise the Lamb of God, of agape, that I love for God. Hallelujah. Through our test trial and what he has brought us to, should have us at a place by now, as long as we've been in God, to be obedient to God, to be submissive to God, to obey God, so that God can bless us with the things that he would have us to do. After every test, you read the story of Abraham. Read the story of this prophet, good. After every test Abraham passed from the one with Lot on, God increases him in riches.
Mm-hmm.
God increases him in riches. Soon as he get rid of Lot, God said, and so Abraham became the richest man in the land. After he didn't divide up half of his stuff and gave it to Lot, God increased him. Because his eyes was open to disobedience. The Lord told me not to take you with me. He told me to leave all of you all back there. But I brought you to be a father to you. Now you kicking me. And the Lord stand on the sideline and said, I told you not to bring them. Get away from your kindred and your acquaintance. That's the first thing I told you. But you brought Lot. And Lot been a thorn in your flesh. We must come to that place. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I know that was a good lesson right there. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to God, Jesus. Prophet Darrell, at some place, at some point, God is going to ask us for something, praise the Lamb of God, that today we're not able to give up.
Jesus.
And the question is, are we willing to make the supreme sacrifice for God? Are we willing to do, surrender and give God what he really wants from us when it comes down to showing and proving that we're worthy of what God has for us? Watch this now. I'm leaving you alone with this. God goes to Abraham and he says, okay, man, you're doing good. You got everything I promised you, right? He said, now give them back to me. Give me Isaac. Give me what I gave you. Give them to me. Offer him up on the mountain in the morning. Now, brothers and sisters, it sounds real easy in your reading, but can you do it? Can you really make the supreme sacrifice? Because if the answer is no, in your real you answering, then, brothers and sisters, you're not ready to receive all God has for you. Watch this now. When Abraham draws the knife back on Isaac, the angel is dispatched and he cries from heaven. God sees now that there's nothing you would withhold from him. Therefore, in blessing, he shall bless thee. It's right there in your Bible. I didn't make it up. It's right there in your Bible, and it's just like that. Hallelujah. In blessing, I shall bless thee. My God in heaven, people of God. But without God himself taking us through the purging, the pruning, the persecutions, the trials, the tribulations as tests. When I say test, these tests are not just exams, but they are exercises that strengthens our faith, that builds up our holy faith so that our faith can match God's faith. Our trust can be on God-level trust. See, not we just, it's not only that we have to learn how to trust God. God has to get to the place where he can do.
That's right. Trust.
See,
us.
God's got to get to the place where he can trust you. It ain't about trusting God. Hallelujah. It's about God trusting you. Can God trust us? Because we're the ones with the frailty. We're the ones that's wishy-washy. We're the ones that's in and out and up and down.
Jesus.
We're the ones that pay tithes this Sunday and then next time I ain't got it. We're the ones that read the word about first fruits and then turn. Well, I can't do that right now. We do that. God doesn't do that. He still wake you up every morning. He still give you strength to get out of the bed. He still carry you along your day and then furnishes you with an experience that will exercise your faith to bring your faith where he wanted to be. Hallelujah. But you remember on Color Purple when that woman stuck her finger out and said, until you do right by me, you better see the finger of God. You better see the finger of God.
Okay.
You better see the finger of God pointing at you saying, till you do right by me. Hallelujah. Till you do right by me.
Oh, okay.
You're gonna have some issues. You're gonna have some struggles and some troubles. Until I can live in your finance, till your money become my money, don't be expecting me to make you no millionaire. If you can't give me $100 or $300 or a check, then I'm going to give you $1 million.
Right.
If I can't control the $500 you make a week, how in the world am I going to control $500 million? And you out there playing a lot of time out. Give it to me, Jesus. I bless the church, and I bless this. The Lord said, if you can't bless them with the 500, how are you going to bless them with the 500 million? I can't trust
exactly.
You like that.
Right.
Hello, light bulbs. Ding dong, ding dong, ding 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 ding. That's my new bell. Until God can trust you. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Okay, where is my guest? Hallelujah. Push one on your dial if you're here. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Mrs. Saunders, Evangelist Saunders, are you with us yet? Please push one on your phone dial. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. So that we can bring you in queue with us. Praise the Lord, Evangelist Saunders. And then at the same time, praise the Lamb of God. Oh, my goodness. Shatwan is here with us. The Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. And we're going to, let me see here. Here we go. I think I got the good Reverend right here. Hey, Reverend, how are you? Reverend Don, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bishop. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. We have Dr. Dawn Saunders here. Praise the Lamb of God in her own right. Amen. With us, she is the director. Praise the Lamb of God of the missional programs at Lock Carey, and we at the missions program, right? That's the missions program, right?
Mission Convention
at Lock Carey. And we thank and praise God for you. And she hails out of Washington, D.C. Now, I want you to know we got a prophet, Daryl Saunders, on here, and I'm trying to find out if you all can.
Oh, it's possible. You know how that is. Long-lost cousin.
Yeah, I think y'all can. Y'all head kind of shakes the same way and stuff. You know, I think y'all might be kin to each other there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Dale, Prophet Dale, where's your roots from? Your roots?
They from Arkansas.
All right, Dr. Saunders, where's your roots from?
Well, my father's side is Alabama. My mom's side is South Carolina. So it's Sanders. It doesn't have a U in it. Mine's a little bit different, but it's Sanders, not Saunders.
Now, how you spell your last name? S-A-N-D-E-R-S?
Yes. Yes, sir.
You got a U-D? Yes, and how about you, Daryl?
Mine's
is S-A-U-N-E-R-S.
Yeah.
Hers is too. I think y'all, we're going to have to get some blood and some DNA here. See what's going on. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. All these cousins and stuff running around here. Well, anyway, we have Dr. With us today. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. But first we're going to have prayer. Hallelujah. Where is my granddaughter? My granddaughter over here? Shatwan?
I'm on here. I'm on here.
All right. We finna have some more prayer. Praise the Lamb of God. We finna pray for leaders. Hallelujah. We finna pray for the fivefold ministry of leadership within the framework of the church for our pastors. Yes, indeed. We want to pray for them, and then we want to pray also, praise the Lamb of God. Woo-wee. Thank you, Jesus. We want to pray for our missionaries, praise the Lamb of God, those that's crossing the waters and doing home mission as well as foreign mission. Praise the Lamb of God in the mission field. And then we want to pray also, our daughter, praise the Lamb of God, for the spirit of witnessing, that it would take hold of the saints, that the saints will start witnessing in this season more. Praise the Lamb of God. The field is white. Hallelujah. It's snow white. Hallelujah. But the laborers are very, very few. Praise the Lamb of God. And we want to pray to the Lord that he's the laborers into the vineyard. Come on, Shatwan. Elder, come and pray with us next. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus, God, just to thank you, God, to thank you for this day, God. God, that you have given us another opportunity, God, to come into your presence, God. And Father God, we ask, God, before I go any further, God, that you will forgive us of all sin, God, knowing and unknowing, God. God, we ask, Lord, that you forgive us of those words, God, or deeds or acts that have caused anybody to stumble and fall, God. And, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you will forgive us of our iniquities, God, that have separated us from you, God. Wash us in your blood today, God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that we will be made worthy to enter into your presence on today, God. Oh, Father God, we ask right now, God, hallelujah, that you restore us back to our rightful place in you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And, oh, Father God, we come today, God. I come to lift up your leaders today, God. Father God, I come praying for the fivefold ministry, God, today in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, we come just thanking you and praising you, God, for those that have stepped out into the calling, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for the pastors and the teachers, God, the preachers, the evangelists, the prophets, the bishops, God. Oh, God, we just thank you for the apostles on today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And, oh, God, we thank you for those that are in place, God. But, God, we also pray for those, God, that have walked away from the leadership, God, those that have walked away from the calling, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Father God, we ask that you send the Holy Ghost to arrest them, God, in the name of Jesus on this day, God. Oh, Father God, hallelujah, God. You know where they're weary at, God, hallelujah. And we're asking, God, that you will strengthen them today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I ask that you go and renew their minds today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, Father God, I ask, hallelujah, that you would order their steps, God, but God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you will open up their eyes again, God, in the name of Jesus, and close their ears off to the enemy, God, that has been whispering in their ear, God, telling them that they are not no good in the name of Jesus. So, God, you call them to this place, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And, oh, God, hallelujah, I call them back, God, with the power and the authority that you have given me, God, that they may step back up, hallelujah, and stand flat-footed, God, in the office, God, and in the gifting that you have given them in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, that they will come back with a repentant heart, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, that they may come quiet and asking for forgiveness, God, for walking away from you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I ask that you heal every hurt, God, heal every scar, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask right now, God, that they become accountable, God, to your word. In the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, for you have placed them over your people, God. And, oh, God, and woe to them that lead your sheep astray, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So now, God, hallelujah, I stand undergirding them today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, line them up with your will today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, hallelujah, send the armor bearers, God, to bear arms for them in the name of Jesus, God. God, send prayer warriors, God, to pray for them where they're weak, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And, oh, God, I ask right now that you look upon the missionaries today, God, those that are going across the waters on foreign sand, God, in the name of Jesus, God. You have ordered their steps, God, and, oh, God, that they're everywhere their feet tread, God, they shall possess the land for you, God. Everywhere their hands touch, God, it shall prosper in your name, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, and they begin to do the work of you, God, across the foreign sand, God, and even on this land, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, that the signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow them, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, that your people shall see, God, and come crying, what must I do to be saved, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, we bless you today, God. God, we give you glory.
glory and honor, God, in the name of Jesus. And then, God, I ask right now, God, that those that are unsure about their calling, God, unsure about their gifting, God, in the name of Jesus, God, oh, God, that you will make the vision clear, God. God, make the plain, the path plain, God, in their lives, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that they shall take their position, God, that they shall stand up boldly, God, and proclaim the word of God. Hallelujah. That they shall stand boldly, God, and proclaim, for God will live, and for God we have died, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we just thank you and we praise you, God. We give you glory and honor, God, in the name of Jesus, for the remnant, God, that you have, God, that you have spread abroad, God, and spread in this country, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, cover them with your protection, God. Keep them under the shadows of the Almighty, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, that they, hallelujah, Jesus, God, that they shall go out into the highways and byways, God, and snatch your people back, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that they shall minister, God, in the power and the authority, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask right now, God, hallelujah, that you straighten their backs up, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that they shall not conform to the world, God, but, oh, God, hallelujah, that they will bring the world to you, God, in the name of Jesus, that they may be transformed by the renewing of their mind today, God, in the name of Jesus. And I ask right now, God, that you go into the deep recesses of their hearts, God, oh, God, into those dark places, God, where they have hidden that thing, God, that is not of you, God, and drop your fire on them today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Let it burn up everything that's not like you, God, in their lives, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. And God, we give you glory, for we stand on your word, God. For we know that your word does not change, God. It's the same, God, in the name of Jesus. We know that what you did back then, God, that you're still doing today, God. But, oh, God, that we shall possess the land today, God. Oh, God, we shall walk upright before you today, God. Oh, God, that we shall be accountable, God. Hallelujah to you for your word, God. We shall be accountable, God, for the people that you placed in our care, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, we thank you for obedience, God. Oh, God, for your word said, obedience is better than sacrifice, God, in the name of Jesus, God, and rather than sacrifice, God. Oh, God, we submit ourselves to obedience today, God, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you and praise you, God. Hallelujah, God. Touch everyone that's listening, God. Touch the airwaves today, God, in the name of Jesus. Go into the highways and the byways, God. Oh, God, let it go into the homes and the hospitals, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, we send the word out, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we bless you, God, and we praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a prayer, what a prayer, what a prayer, what a prayer. Hallelujah. We bless God today for our granddaughter in the spirit. Praise the Lamb of God. I know many of you hear me call her granddaughter. Hallelujah. Her mother is my daughter in the ministry. Praise the Lamb of God, Pastor Gail Johnson. And so that makes her my spiritual granddaughter. Praise the Lamb of God. And I just thank God for the fruits of labor, hallelujah, that is manifesting into powerful men and women of God. We have Dr. Dawn Saunders, and we want to welcome her to the show. Praise the Lamb of God. Everybody, mic's open. Won't you just welcome her now?
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome,
welcome
in the name of Jesus.
Welcome.
I know we have some mics open. God, God bless you. Dr. Saunders, why don't you just give us some background, praise the Lamb of God, on you, and then, you know, just march us straight on up to this missionary field.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Bishop. I am originally from New York. I have come from a place, a little town like Bethlehem, just place called Greenberg, New York, and Westchester outside of the city, about 30, 40 minutes. And God has been good, because I think what he did in a very small church, I came from a very traditional Baptist church in White Plains area, and the mothers used to come to your house if you got out of order, and they would get you together with the white dollies on their heads, white uniforms, nurses' uniforms. And I remember those mothers, and I remember saying to myself, I didn't understand how God was going to use this experience, but all through that time in my life, I remember them just being very much committed to evangelizing and making sure you got saved. That was the biggest issue for them. And through that church, not only did I come to know Christ, but through that experience, I went on to graduate, go on to college, and then made my journey to Washington, D.C. And when it was in that process, I mean, I was in the clubs. I was in church, but then going to the clubs on Saturday, had the little boyfriends, doing the things that most young people do in their 20s. And I think that what God decided to do with me, even when I tried to do wrong, you know, it was always a time limit. It was always a constraint. And I realized that I would always meet other young people who were just sold out for God. And so I had a mirror image of my own foolishness. I had a mirror image of the fact that I did not have to do the things I did and justify just because I was young and that I was sheltered or whatever the issues may have been with the suburbs and not having exposure to things. But God was really using that sheltering to preserve the call, which I didn't know I had on my life at the time. And it was through a process of going to the Holiness Church, Bishop Owens, the Owens of in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember there was a man who actually has passed away now. Used to be out of Atlanta. He passed away a few years ago, but he was praying and speaking, and the Holy Ghost, he was talking about something, and I had never been slain in the Spirit, never encountered, never heard the voice of God personally. I've heard people talk about God speaks to you, but I've never had an experience in my life. But in that process, God laid me out in the service. Nobody laid hands. I was in my own space. God was speaking to me, and he just started talking to me about personal things in my family and that I was to go back and start ministering to my family about some very specific things and with specific instructions of things that I did not know of and did not have experience of before. And it was as I started walking in that, didn't know, again, about a call to preach or any of that. It was just go home and give this word to your family. Remember, you got to get your family in order. Help your mother and her sisters come to terms with some things. And if they don't come to terms with them, I'm going to bring judgment in the house. And eventually, as a result of some things I had to speak, mind you, they knew I was in the club and going to church. So they knew I was cardinal Christian, as you might say. They understood the journey. And so I had to come get this word real quick to y'all. I knew we had to do a fast. I had never fasted before and went through all these steps. God told me just these step-by-step instructions, and they were all just baffled at the whole thing of it. But at the end result, they didn't kind of get together. They didn't do what God said, and God did bring judgment. There was a death. My grandmother passed away in the process of time, but her death brought them together. So
now, you weren't preaching then, though. As far as preaching as you preach now, were you preaching then, evangelist?
No. I was still in the club.
You were still in the club. Well, some preaching be in the club too.
You preach in the club. No, I was in the strip club.
You was a club member.
I was at the First Friday. I should say club. I was at the First Friday event. You know what I'm saying? And so I was transitioning.
Yeah.
And my transition out the club, I had this experience, this encounter with God at the Holiness Church. And that's when I gave the word. And then as I started seeing some things, and God just kept giving me visions and things started happening where I could see things before they happened. And I started trying to unpack that with different people that God
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
now, how old were you when you started ministry?
How old
were you when you accepted your call?
At 26. So it was maybe some years after that. Yeah. So maybe some time after that. It might have been a few years after, maybe about 4 years after that experience that I received my call to preach. So
You got your burning, then you got your learning, then you got your calling. In that way, so to speak, right?
Yeah, I think at my home church, I want to say that was the first church I preached. I preached at a senior citizens day or something. But it was in that moment that my pastor, the pastor that baptized me, that he acknowledged the call and was able to say, you know, from this point forward, you know, you sit with the preachers, you do these things. But even still, it was just, I just want to go talk to the people about Jesus. I didn't think of it as preaching. Mm-hmm. No one ever said, you know, hell, you're called to preach, nothing like that. It was always just go tell the people that Jesus, that he can really talk to you. You can hear him. You can just instructions. And just talk to the single people about celibacy. Talk to the people that ain't got to be in the club. And the things that I was going through and coming through as a single person and as a young adult. And so it evolved from there. And then Bishop John Bryant came to our church one revival, and it was out of Bishop John Bryant's testimony about his call to preach and him being in school and some things that God did with him that I received my call to preach and then start preparing for seminary. But before seminary, which was a requirement, God just, I lost my job. You know, the typical things, you lose your job, but it was that moment when I lost my job that God
said,
I've got to train you in the Holy Ghost. And so I spent, mm-hmm. I had never lost a job in my life since I was 14 years old. And so it was very much a let me go step by step with you in the Holy Ghost so that you understand that it's always been me providing for you. Paycheck has never paid your bills. It's always been
my God,
provision.
That was a hard lesson to learn now, I tell you.
Yeah, and it was just through that personal experience that my mom was like, you can come back home. You don't have to be down in D.C. I'm like, no, I've got to stay in my process. And it was 6 months later that God, brought me into a job situation. And then from there just started really ministering to me. And I was with my pastor, and I was sharing with him that I really felt called to go on mission. And Jackie McCullough, I think she had in 1998, she had a missionary trip that she was talking about organizing in Jamaica. And I didn't personally, it was a medical mission trip, so was not a medical professional, but I felt called to go. And when I got there, I was on the prayer team, and others, so everybody who came through the clinic went through the prayer team, and then they went to be seen by the physicians. And it was out of that mission to Jamaica that I felt the call of God on my life was specific, not specifically to preaching, but I didn't see it as that. It was more I'm called to do missions, and I don't know what that means. And so talking with my pastor, I was in his office, H. Beecher Hicks in Washington, D.C., sitting in his office on July 2nd, 1999, and then I ended up in
preaching through a storm.
1 month later. I'm sorry, yeah, preaching through a storm, and a month later I was in Kentucky. He said, you're going to go down there into Southern Baptist Seminary, and I was there for 12 years.
Oh, Jesus.
But in that process of, you know, God, I hear your call.
So your degree, your doctorate is in theology.
My master's of divinity is in missions, evangelism, and church planting. And now I'm working on my doctorate, and that's in Black church leadership with a specialization. I'll be doing it on Lock Carry. So missions specific, helping church build their missional capacity. And so right after I graduated, it was literally 5 years to the day, I decided to go back to D.C. to celebrate my graduation, finally made it through the wilderness. Lord Jesus delivered me from Kentucky, and I was struck by a semi-tractor trailer came across the highway and struck my car. And at 70 miles an hour, I was stuck in the grill of the semi-tractor trailer. And the only way I could come out is like, you got to come out of this, but you got to hit the cement wall at 70 miles an hour. But you're going to come out of it. But now you got to come out. And so at 70 miles an hour, I hit the cement barrier. Yeah, it was just crazy. So that was literally 5 years to the day that I sat in Pastor Hicks' office and said, he said, go on mission. So I hit the wall, and I was still functional, whatever, and it wasn't until they got me in the ambulance and they were taking me to the hospital, and the hospital was talking to the ambulance driver to say the details of the situation. He was explaining to her all the cars that were involved, the cars that hit me, and all the things that happened. And the hospital said back to the driver, okay, so how many casualties are you bringing into the hospital? He said, no, she's alive. I'm bringing one person, but she's alive. And so I realized I was supposed to die that day, but it was just God's choice. And so I kept saying, Lord, if that is the case, then how is it I haven't been on mission? And it was 12 years. It took me 12 years before I received the opportunity to be on mission. And so God just, in a process, literally in a process, and a lot of loss, a lot of things that happened, but a lot of things in the middle of that, God was just training me in the Holy Ghost about, you know, how to warfare, how to stand. And literally by the time I came to terms with staying in Kentucky, me and Anne-Marie Brown were working together, had this business, we were doing really well. I was helping nonprofits start their business. I was a grant writer and consultant, helping churches build their capacity, helping nonprofits build their capacity. And then the call came from Lock Carey that there was an opportunity. I refused. I said, I'm a businesswoman. I'm on my own. I didn't been fired and let go after working for the church. And so now I have an opportunity to own my own business. I ain't going back to work for nobody. Jesus is going to have to give me that word. And sure enough, he did. Time to go back. Go back.
He did.
Go back to D.C. and receive your reward. And so I did. I had an opportunity and traveled. I traveled the world. I'm able to work with churches and ministries around the world with Lock Carey to be able to build their capacity and to help them strengthen their ministries. And for the integrity of Lock Carey since, 1897, it's been in existence. African Americans have been contributing to missions and mission endeavors around the world. And it's just been a blessing to be a part of that legacy, to be part of that heritage, and to equip the saints to go on mission for God. That's my greatest joy. So I'm in a good space at this point, but it's just been a long journey, Bishop. It's been a long process. And so I'm just grateful to God to be with an institution that has withstood the test of time and to be at a place where even as I'm preparing teams to go overseas, whether it's working with the pastors or working with the churches or working with young people, I'm always curious as how God just constantly works and sends people to these remote places where no GPS could get you there, but God sends and deploys missionaries to the hill countries in Kenya and to the back alleys in South Africa where folks
are
raping and killing women because, South Africa is beautiful, but there are people who are being raped and
South Africa is something else.
And we have people. Yeah, South Africa is one of the most beautiful places that I've been, but, the human trafficking there is very serious. So we have partners who have been on the battlefield, front line, like giants in the ministry that I have been able to work alongside. And that's Lock Carey's model, that we don't come in and take over. We send about $100,000 to the mission field every month, and those persons for the different countries use that money to pay salaries and to hire local ministry leaders and support education, evangelism, and health. And so it's an opportunity for us collectively in the U.S. to sow in overseas, although we're not a city.
Do you all get down to Ghana?
We don't have an active partnership with Ghana. We have a cooperative with them. So we have 10 countries.
But if you ever want, we have a church there. We have a church there that we help build. And the pastor is a part of our ministry here, our international ministry.
Oh,
Pastor Adam. And, we would love to connect you guys.
I used to go to an African church, and he was out of Pastor Kibio, too. He was out of Ghana. So I have a love for Ghana and for the people of God in Ghana. So, yes, that's an awesome connection.
Oh, yeah, we will connect you with Adam. And,
amen.
See how the Lord bless. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know some of you all hearing my voice. That's on the page, and you all can start making that connection happen right now. Hallelujah. Sometimes he calls into the show and from Africa and blesses us and lets us know how the ministry stuff is going down in Ghana. But we have those that's with us, Don, that have the call of the evangelist missionary on their life that I know that's online right now. And those of us who will be embarking upon the missionary field at some time or another, God has spoken and said that we're going to cross the waters and this, that, and another. And I just want you to fill us in on expectations on the high side of it and the low side of it. You know, I've heard some stories of I got off the plane and a dead body was laying by the road as we was going, and I was there 3 days and came back and that same dead body was laying there, and just all, you know, just different types of stories that you hear that could put fear in one person's heart to say, I ain't going, that ain't my calling. And then on the flip side of the coin is some other people would say, boy, I would love to experience that. So why don't you talk to us about the mission fields right now?
Sure. What I would say to most persons in terms of the journey, I think my mission in 1999 was probably the most traumatic of all, because I would say that I went to Jamaica with the group that went with Red McCullough completely blind. I had not had any exposure to mission prior to, and I was on this prayer team, and I'm praying for these people. We might have been in the clinic, you know, 8 hours, 12 hours a day, 15 hours a day. Each day was a little bit different. And I kept saying, God, I'm feeling something. I felt some level of oppression. I don't know what it is. I was still growing in my discernment. I still didn't really quite know all that was going on. But I remember at the last day, we were praying, and one of the young ladies said, some of the ladies had breakfast with us, and they were saying how in some instances the young ladies live in these houses, like these metal houses that don't really have locks on the doors, so the accessibility to persons coming in and raping them is pretty common. And I kept saying, something's not right here, but I don't know what it is. And when I heard that, I wish I had that information on the front end. But having it on the back end, what I realized is that God was just showing me never step into something haphazardly. There's a lot of warfare that you're going into in these cultures and contexts that will not always be on the surface. So as I said, even in South Africa, it's one of the most beautiful places I've been. It looks very much like a Washington, D.C., in a lot of respects, or the typical suburb that you would consider. But when you go into, I'm in a program that we have there that we sponsor through the Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church out of Philadelphia, and they are getting persons out of gangsterism and out of human trafficking. And when you talk about persons, depending on what gang you're in, that they have different numbers. It's like the 78, 77, the different numbers, some of them into money laundering, trafficking, different numbers mean different things. And to be able to have persons who have been the foot soldiers of these gangs that have terrorized South Africa and in Cape Town specifically, where this particular group is, and then to have the men and women of God stand flat-footed and not come against the end, stand flat foot, you will not have this life, and snatch these men and women out of the fire. That's what missions is.
Wow.
I saw it for myself. I saw this one young man that had what's called graduation. They would always say to me, Reverend Dawn, you got to come down here for graduation. You always come, but your timing is off. I need you to come down Cape Town for graduation. And I never could quite synchronize my schedule with what they were doing. And one time I had the opportunity to attend it, and I saw this young man who had robbed his mother, who had robbed his father, would rob his family, would rob neighbors just to support their drug habits, just to support the activity and the gangs, and had gone through a
point. Don, you're talking real fast, honey. Don, you're talking real fast. You said this young man robbed his mother and
But yeah, they could never be in the house with him without everything had to be locked up. He was such an addict, and he would rob them while they were there. I mean, just things that he could not control it. And they were in maybe the 10th cycle of trying to get him some substance abuse help. And by the time I encountered the young man, he was at the graduation service. And what happens at graduation, you're talking about, again, these are young men, these are young women who have been in the gangs and have terrorized the community. Because remember, the gangs don't come in like you would think, like the Crips and the Bloods. They don't come in quite the same way they do here in our country. What they do is, because the country has a set process where if you're in school, you have to pay school fees. And so any child in school must pay these school fees. And so the gangs come in as kind of like Santa Claus. So they come into very poor communities. They don't take over one or two people. They don't do it that way. They come and take over whole sections, townships, because what happens is when you start giving money and you start underwriting a child who may be 6 years old, whose mother doesn't have the money to pay for his school fees, and you start supporting her and supporting the next-door neighbor and so on and so forth, by the time the child is, you did it from 6 years old, let's say, to the time the child's maybe 8, maybe 10, that mother or that father and that family and that community is now indebted to you because you have now supported, let's say, 20-plus kids. So by the time they're 10 and 11, you don't have to recruit them in the gang. They automatically join the gang because you've been family to them. You have supported their education all these years. So it's not very difficult to get them jumped into the gang. And so what this group has done, Cult Team Challenge Ministry, has gone in and literally confronted the enemy. And what I saw at this graduation, I saw this young man. I told this one time before, I had a family member who had been incarcerated. And I had never seen anything like it. It broke my heart. I saw, you know, I know how they had it back in the day with the chain gangs and stuff like that, but I didn't know that even currently if a group is coming off a bus or if they're being transported, they will shackle them hand and foot. And they'll shackle them by a belt that kind of links them to each other. And I saw the family members shackled. I had never seen anything like it. I mean, it broke my heart. I had never seen anything like it. And as this young man was talking about, I did these things. I robbed these people. I robbed this neighborhood. I robbed my family. I robbed these people. Now, mind you, the whole community has come out to this graduation for all these persons who used to be these gangbangers and used to be these drug addicts. And he said, but today I name the name of Jesus Christ. I met him for myself. I saw that man who looked like that relative of mine, but I saw all of those chains coming off him. It was something like, Lord, there's no way, there is no power greater than you. And I know we say that, but when you're talking about front line, you talk about some of them were trigger men, some of them were the ones that assassinated people in their communities, and their ministry that are in these countries, there are persons who are Christian who have made the commitment that they're going to be missionaries for life, and they're going to put their lives on the line for persons who may not look like much and may be the ones terrorizing the community, but they're snatching them out of the fire. That's why I
Lord.
It was those moments, and I'm seeing that young man turn his life over to God, and not only him, but the people that sat in that service who attested to, I no longer lock my stuff up when my son comes home because I know he met Jesus. I know he's been in 10 different rehabilitation centers, but today I know today is not a lie. I know he met him. I know he's
not a miracle working power there. Hold on just a minute, Don. You are listening to Prophet Michael Shakespeare, PSM Live, and we are live here with Dr. Don Saunders, who is an evangelist and a missionary in foreign countries, and she's educating us in this way concerning missionaries. Praise the Lamb of God as we deal with prayer today. She's going to talk to us in a minute about the prayer meetings and the results of them and what you can expect, when and how these prayer meetings take place over in these foreign countries while you're on the missionary field. I know there's a lot of interest in this area, praise the Lamb of God, but as you see, this is a faith area too, and it's where the real ministry meets the road, praise the Lord. If you're listening to us via the Internet, hallelujah, and you want to be a part of our live studio, you can by calling area code 646-564-9818, area code 646-564-9818, in about 10 minutes, we're going to open the lines for question and answers. So don't go nowhere. You can direct questions to Dr. Don or to myself, we will do our best to answer those questions for us. All right. Now, Don, let's shift into more of a missionary mode of prayer, preaching, teaching, those kinds of things, and miracles, signs, wonders, whatever else you can get into. But I really want the people to see the I know that's deep ministry there. I mean, you jump way all the way into, wow, you know, deep level. But when it comes down to prayer meetings, worship events, you know, things of this nature, souls being saved, what can they expect in these second and third world countries?
So primarily what happens with Lot Carry, depending on what country it is. So there's some countries where it's a little more, how would you say it? If you were going in an Ethiopia, there's some things you cannot say even as you pray and cover the people, because there's some laws that they have to abide by, certain things that have to happen
okay.
in the organization that we work with. And so there's some constraints. So in other words, there are women that might be attacked and gang raped. You can't use the word rape in their country. You can't use certain things you can't say even as you're interceding and you're standing in the gap. There's certain things that you have to, what we call as a model of come alongside. And the come alongside model framework is that we do not superimpose a Western methodology in a foreign setting. So whatever that setting's right. protocol is, we come alongside the partner who's in the field, the indigenous leader is the one who has, in essence, the final say, but they are the ones that shepherd us through the process so that we're not only pulling down strongholds and standing in the gap and being able to see by protocol, but we're also not jeopardizing their ministry when we leave. So that's one of the things that I think most people aren't aware, that there's some confines to missionary work, that there's some things you're not allowed to do. So, for instance, even if somebody was walking up to me in Ethiopia and they asked me to give them some money, and I clearly can see there's a need, that I could not, by law, hand them money. It's against the law to give money to a beggar. And so there's some constraints that you have. So even in the prayer protocol, there's some things you can't do in a certain way. Now, if I'm in Liberia, which is in West Africa, I'm in a different setting, I'm in a different set of circumstances, and I'm allowed to have freedom in terms of ministry in a school. I can be in schools. I can teach them. I can speak declaratively of Jesus Christ. I can be very intentional in my ministry. I can anoint with oil. There are things I can do that have complete freedom, even in a school setting, that I could not do at a university in Ethiopia. So it's a very big difference, and we just learn by cross-cultural experience. Being in different countries, you get different sets of circumstances. But let's say if I'm going to Kenya, there may be a church that's planted there in the hill country, but there's a lot of times there may be circled around a tree. They may have a specific area in a certain region where they just worship outside. And when you're coming into that environment, you're pretty much they're taking the lead and you're coming alongside, but you're praying and preaching pretty much how you would hear, and they have an interpreter and they would work with you, but their freedom in terms of the Holy Ghost and their freedom in terms of preaching is quite different than, let's say, in an Ethiopian context. And so what we've learned is that God does give us the call, but there's also a constraint on the call, if that makes sense, so that in some cases we are abiding by the local contextual protocols, but we're still free to minister as God gives us direction. And I think that's some things that some missionaries, particularly from the Western models that we're accustomed to, they have some difficulty with that because they feel like we could just challenge the systems and bring down the stronghold. But there also is order to prayer, and there's also order even in how you would evangelize a community. So going back again to South Africa, they don't witness to adults. If they were going to evangelize a community like the gangs, they would first witness to children. So most of their churches are house churches, and they open the doors. So on a Sunday, you would be preaching in the house. You'd open the doors. You'd open the windows. And the community would come and sit outside your house for service. You wouldn't go into a church. That's not something we do. And for the most part, they preach to children. And the children are the ones who take the word back to their families, and then they preach to the family, and they win their families.
So you literally stand like at a window or something and preach out of the window?
No, not like that. It would be a regular house that's open. It would just be the doors would be open. They could hear you, and they would come, and they would put their chairs outside on your lawn. They would, you know, they wouldn't necessarily come to a church, if that makes sense. They would
okay.
come to a house. That's a house church, like in, you know, the.
Okay,
the,
how much demonic oppression do you see?
Oh, that's there. It's there in all the settings. I think the difference is that a lot of the time, depending on the organization, I will say that just to be politically correct, depending on the organization, sometimes you have the authority to deal with it, sometimes you do not. In other words, it's like if I'm here at my school, I go to a Southern Baptist school, I would not be able to just go up to a person who I know might be possessed and start casting out demons at the Southern Baptist Seminary of Kentucky, because they may call the cops on me. But same thing in overseas context, but there might be some context where they're very open with that, and they do deliverance all of the time. But in other countries, not as open. It just depends on the circumstance. But for the most part, it's no different than here. It's the idea is that the persons that are oppressed, they believe in healing and laying on of hands in most instances. But like when I was talking about the situation in Ethiopia, I was clear that was a demon, that that campus was oppressed, and that there were things that were happening on that campus. But we had a limited ability of what we could address. But what I also saw, even when we had limitations in that area, we were able to go over to another organization that worked with former prostitutes, and we were able to have freedom in ministering and do the deliverance. So it just depends on who's leading what type of project, but the deliverances and the that are needed and the things like that are pretty much similar to us in the U.S., very much the similar, same situation. But in every church in the U.S., you do not find persons casting out demons and doing deliverance. So it's how open the person that the leader is and how receptive the environment is and the circumstances surrounding that particular ministry.
I see. Wow. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. There's a lot to take in here when it comes down to being a missionary, going overseas in these areas. I know that there's a lot of persecution in some countries of missionaries. I know like in India, boy, East India and places like that, that, you know, it's so very hard to bring missionaries in and what have you without them being persecuted. How what level of persecution, if any, is there when it comes down to missionaries?
Now, our organization is a little bit different because our organization is not a sending agency. It's a supporting agency. That simply means that we hire local missionaries. So we don't send in career missionaries from the U.S. that go overseas and live, let's say, 25 years in New Delhi. We hire the local missionaries who do the work on their end. So we have an agency there in New Delhi and Bangalore that we've worked with for 20-plus years. And for the most part, they're doing the deliverance, they're doing the healing, and we don't really have that same situation because we have one of the leading schools in India, and they're able to use education as their first witness. And it's like a flagship organization, and then from that, they're able to do the other stuff. So they're kind of able to get around that a little bit. The ministry that we have, we have a leprosy colony there that they treat persons that are afflicted with leprosy, and so they're able to kind of use the flagship organization and a health clinic to really minister. And so in India, in many respects, if you can heal me, I'm going to come to you if you're Christian or not. It doesn't, it would be different than me as a U.S. person going in. There might be a different experience exposure to me. I would be more a threat maybe than as an outside person. So Lot Carey's position is we fund the local missionaries, and then they deal with the local scenarios a little bit differently. And so we really just only deal with short-term missionaries, only persons that go in under the supervision of the people that are already on the ground. So we don't have as much of a threat.
We don't have a little time left. I want to open up the line for a question and answers to Dr. Saunders here and to our prophetic people. If Prophet Darrell, one of you all have a word for Dr. Dawn Saunders, if the Lord has spoken, she's been speaking, then you're free to do that also. Praise the Lamb of God. But I just wanted to open the lines up here to those of you that's here. If there's anyone who have any questions concerning the mission field, this, that, and another, you know, you can do that. I know I had one person had a question they placed on the page about the area of being overly, or if you would, concerned about pleasing God. The fear of failure is not so much in failing as a person or in their abilities as it is in failing God, not being able to do what the Lord would have you to do and failing him. And I just want to say to that person, praise the Lamb of God, that God knows our heart, directed to the person who asked in the code. God knows our heart, number one. He knows your purpose and your intent. And when you put your whole heart into something for the Lord that he has definitely requested you to do, then his grace is there, praise the Lamb of God, to assist you in your weakness. That's first and foremost. And I think a lot of times we omit that out of our journey. When we was in prayer earlier today, I read all scriptures that was contained to grace. And grace is that supernatural intervention and mediation of God that causes God to be able to give you strength and power and ability to do what you can't do on your own, praise the Lamb of God, because of there's a thorn in your flesh or whatever else there is there, to make a long story short. But that God is able to help and assist you in those areas. The next thing is, praise the Lamb of God, is that God knows our inabilities. He knows our fragileness. He knows our weaknesses. He knows all of that about us. And when God labels us with an assignment of any type, he has already qualified, praise the Lamb of God, has already sanctified, and is already glorifying us with his anointing and his power to do what he would have us to do. Praise the Lamb of God. So we want to be cognizant of the fact, hallelujah, of that. There are some other things that come into play that we can do that we may feel that we're letting God down on. But the Lord knows your faith walk. He knows just where you are. And just like God knew Abraham was going to go down to Egypt and lie, he knew he was going to tell them that woman was his wife was his sister. He knew that. Praise the Lamb. But yet he delivered Abraham, praise the Lamb of God, at deliverance time because God knows and knew his faith level. Praise the Lamb of God. God knew his weakness. God knew all about us. Praise the Lamb of God. So just do all you can for God and let God do the rest. He wants to participate. All he needs is the invitation to be able to participate, even that he asks us to do. He always wants to participate. So I bless you with that. Praise the Lamb of God. Are there any more questions? Anyone have anything they want to direct to Dr. Don today? Lamb of God, those of you that's been listening here, your mics are on. Praise the Lamb of God. You push one on your dial, and we will entertain you today. Praise. Uh-oh, well, I see one right here. My granddaughter. Hallelujah. Elder Chatwan.
Yes.
Your
well,
mic is
God.
On.
Well, thank you. I just want to thank God for today. I do have a testimony. You know, I was on the show this morning when it started, but I was out doing hair, and I had to travel over an hour to get to her house, not knowing that the reason that I was going to her house was not to do her hair, but God had an assignment for me there. And I thank God that, you know, last night I was trying to get out of going because it was so far, but, you know, I got up and I came, and I'm glad I did because I was in the will of him because, you know, even as the show was going on, I told her, you know, I'm sorry, I got to listen to the show today, you know, because I have to pray today. And she was like, okay, so I had to mute my mic. Well, anyway, long story short, even throughout the show, you know, I know they was listening but wasn't listening. But God had me there ministering to her and her husband. And I know I'm a single woman, but I know that God will take you and put you in a place where he wants you to be, where they can be receptive to you, where they're not receptive to anyone else, you know. And he had me ministering to them about their marriage and their relationship and the issues that they were going through. But also when I prayed, when I came out, I know that the Holy Spirit had touched her and she had finally allowed God to touch her, you know what I'm saying? And I was talking to her about it, and I was asked, do you know God can do this, and are you ready for him to do this in your life? You know, and she was saying, yeah. And I said, well, you know what? You just got to take the step and allow God to be God in your life. You know, and I just thank God for today. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Praise
Amen.
God. Boy, oh, boy, oh. Woo-wee. Prophet Darrell, where you at, man? Prophet Darrell, going off the line. Praise the Lord, all right? Praise the Lamb. I want to, again, thank you, Don, for being with us. Praise the Lord. Like the saints have no questions about the missionary field. I know several of them have inboxed me and talked about missionary work and this, that, and another. Praise the Lord. Or you've covered so much, praise the Lamb of God, and that you have satisfied all ears, praise the Lord, as it relates to the missionary field and this, that, and another. But I know this, praise the Lamb, it is a very, very serious and important field of labor as it relates to the end times. Until this gospel is preached, the Bible says, to every corner of the earth, the end shall not come. Praise the Lamb of God. So the spreading of the gospel is very, very important. The salvation of souls is very important to God. Witnessing is the heartthrob of God. I don't care what nobody says. Hallelujah, through his love, extending to people the deliverance from Satan, their self, and the society that they live in. Praise the Lamb of God. Is very vital and important as we, the people of God, who are so, especially in America, are so addicted to a church building. We're so addicted to the process that is laid out, the patterns of how church is supposed to be, how worship is, what time, what day, this, that, and another. There are other people, praise the Lamb of God, on the other side of the world that have church when they can, that are suffering because they're even thinking about worshiping and calling on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are people, praise the Lamb of God, who conditions supersede ours, praise the Lamb of God, by 100% in the negative as far as it as not having what they need, food, shelter, clothing, this, that, another, and yet they will worship and praise God at every opportunity. We are so spoiled. Some of us, praise the Lamb of God, can go through any little thing and stop going to worship, stop attending the church. And how many pastors can say they have heard a member say this when we ask them, where have you been? Oh, I just been going through some stuff, and so I just felt I just take some time away to myself. Mm-hmm. How many times have we heard that respond from a member when trouble, crisis, tribulation should draw you closer to God and not push you away from him? We are the most softball, weak, spaghetti back country that there is, as it relates to the willingness to suffer and surrender and to engage the enemy and to go forth, praise the Lamb of God, snatch people out the fire at whatever cost. I love you today. I bless you. I'm Prophet Michael Shakespeare. This is Dr. Don Saunders, praise the Lamb of God, who has been with us. We thank you, Doc, for being here with us. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Sharing. Yeah. And hopefully when you write that book about this, praise the Lamb of God, we will be able to entertain that, hallelujah, and do a live signing right here on the show. We give you God praise. I love each of you. We're out of time. Praise the Lamb of God. I'll talk to you guys on Tuesday. Daryl Saunders, thank you. Chetwan, Sylvia, other sister was on early praying for us. Thank you all so much for being right here on the show with us. It's time to go. We bless you. I'm excited about your future. Be blessed, people of God. I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
There's a new day dawning for me. I can feel it coming now. The dark clouds have rolled away. The sunshine is here to stay. Sins have been forgiven, now I can move on to God's work and walk in victory.